Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Hey, you know it's Taz and
Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey. It is Taz and the Moose with you here on this Tuesday morning, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. You've got Mike and Pete across the way on the side, running things bogus with your updates as we have an hour down, 2 hours left to play with. And CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too? Get it all right now at geico.com. That number to call, 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
And if you're just joining us, obviously, NFL free agency was the big deal yesterday as the tampering window opened up. Deals will not be official until 4 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow. In addition to all the deals yesterday, DeSean Jackson, the Eagle, Nick Foles, a Jaguar, Landon Collins, a Redskin, the Raiders moves, about a half hour, 40 minutes ago, news came down. The Jets, who had a ton of money to spend this offseason, new head coach, and their general manager, awfully aggressive. They added Anthony Barr, the linebacker from the Vikings, late last night, Taz. And they have signed the former Baltimore Raven middle linebacker and former Alabama Crimson Tide star C.J. Mosley. Jeez. Gets a five-year, $85 million deal from the Jets with $51 million guaranteed.
Yo, bro, and we're forgetting about another guy that's been on that defense in Jamal Adams. Okay, yep. So you got Baugh, Mosley, Adams. You got True Johnson. You got Greg Williams as the defensive coordinator. Okay, now, if you're Le'Veon Bell, this Jets team, besides
I want to go.
How do you not?
I want to go.
Right now, I mean, to me, if I was in the NFL and I was, you know, a free agent right now, the two teams that are probably the most sexiest to go to like for fun, to just go and win would be potentially win is the Raiders or the Jets.
Well, and the Jets are, and you're right, and wow. I'd put the Jets above the Raiders, Taz, just because.
Well, this move, yeah, that just locks everything in.
Locks
here.
Everything. Yeah. And not just that, Taz, this is what happens when you draft a quarterback that's pretty good right away.
Right, young guy.
Russell Wilson, you saw it up in Seattle. You've seen it with the Rams. You've seen it with the Philadelphia Eagles and their quarterback, Carson Wentz. And now you're seeing it with the Jets and Sam Darnold, Taz. You're not paying Sam Darnold franchise money, right? But he is a quarterback that showed you that he's franchise-caliber quarterback in his rookie year and showed you those kind of flashes. But it enables you to where, even though last year he fell into your laps as you traded up and he was the third overall selection, and you're paying him a good amount of money, you're not paying him to the level that other starting franchise quarterbacks are making in the National Football League. So what's the time now? The time now is to spend. And you've got to spend wisely to where you can make these kind of a deals. Look at, I mean, the Philadelphia Eagles yesterday signed, you know, how did the Eagles do it? They added Malik Jackson and gave him a three-year, $30 million deal after he was let go by the Jacksonville Jaguars. These are the reason why is they're still not paying Carson Wentz money. Once they pay him big-time quarterback money, you can't pay all these other guys.
No, you can't. No, you're exactly right. Spot on for sure. And the AFC East, oh, man. I'll tell you what, the Patriots, I would love to be a fly on the wall in Bill Belichick's office. You know him? He's never going to show you sweat, and he hates the Jets.
Hates the Jets.
Always beats up on the Jets, but he hates them. So now,
go Pats!
What I'm wondering, what is he thinking now? He knows he's got Greg Williams there as a DC. And now they're bringing these two other guys in there. They got a stout, pretty stout defense. They just got more stout. Man, it's got to be a little concerning. As a Bills fan, I'm not happy about this at all. Because I'm a former Jet fan. But I'd rather, look, on my worst day, they're fine. The Bills lose, okay, I'm used to the Bills losing. But I'd rather, I wouldn't mind seeing the Jets beat up on the Pats.
I don't disagree.
That's just me.
You're right about what. Two things. What are the Patriots thinking, number one? And I get the Patriot fans going to say, I don't care.
Well,
I
mean, we got sell. Brady. They don't,
right, they're not going to get nervous about what the Jets do. What must Todd Bowles be thinking?
Oh,
Bowles down now. The defensive coordinator him, down in Tampa must be like, he must be like WTF. I mean, you got to be serious.
Yeah,
I mean,
no, you're right.
I'm dealing with these guys. Some of these guys can't even play. and you're bringing in Anthony Barr, C.J. Mosley.
Yeah.
You're bringing in a slot receiver now. All these guys, they're going to be good. I mean, you know, you couldn't have spent. I mean, you couldn't have given me one more year with this. I'm not telling you Bowles was a good coach, but he must be like,
I didn't think of him. But you're right, and they get the third pick in the overall,
and the third overall pick.
So they're going to get somebody. They could still go defense again if they want.
Yeah. What about the 49ers fell in love with somebody other than, I know you don't love Bosa, but say if Bosa's sitting there with the third overall pick,
dude, he'll be a mega star in New York.
Imagine you stick him on that
right.
defense.
You're exactly right.
Imagine
if
he falls to them at third, or Allen, right. or right. Quinton Williams.
It's going to be one of those cats.
One of those guys are going to
be there.
If they
don't go offense.
If they don't go offense and they stick there and go defense, they're going to be able to add in a draft that's loaded with defensive linemen, they're going to be able to address a need, which is defensive line.
Yeah, and
Jets
right.
are going to be a huge player next year.
They really are. And I feel like, in the sports world, in the football world, people have been saying that, there's been a lot of that, and then midway through, it's like same old Jets, But you know what? I think you're right.
Good players.
This is a different situation here. You got the new coach that's staring a hole right through you. Okay, Gates. We know that. All right, you got a really good DC there. I mean, yeah, man.
He's trying to look behind him.
They look. they didn't nail that center yet. Paradise.
No, they didn't. There's two targets they still want that are out there. I don't know if they could afford them both, Bell and the center from Denver.
Because they got to do something on that running back side. Pete the Body and I were talking during the break. Once in a while we talk. Pete, give up the snare about Jordan Howard. I don't want to steal your thunder here. What'd you say?
No, I think that would be a good second option for them if they don't get Bell.
Right.
They can go trade for Howard.
Trade for Howard. It's not a bad idea. That could happen.
No, not terrible if they don't get Le'Veon Bell. But they want Bell.
How much money do they have left here, bro?
I don't know. I got to look.
What they have, like $90 million in cap or something like that?
I'll try and take a look around and see if I can figure out how much.
Talk to McCagden. You talk. You always talk.
I talk to McCagden. Yes, we're right. We always share a Starbucks every morning.
Caramel macchiato, please.
That's exactly right. So as the NFL grabs the headlines for all the right reasons and NFL fans are fired up and excited, the NBA last night grabbed some headlines for all the wrong reasons. Oklahoma City on the road in Utah. Here's their star, Russell Westbrook, their star guard, getting into it with a fan. Take a listen.
I'm going to tell you one thing. I'll f*** him up. He said, I promise you. I swear to God. I'll f*** you up. You and your wife. I'll f*** you up.
All right, a couple things I think need to be said. First off, you heard what he said to this fan and his wife or
correct.
His fiance. I don't know if it was his wife. It was his wife, I think. Just so people know that didn't see the video, he was not up in this guy's face.
No, he was not.
I think that's important. He was standing on the bench. So you couldn't even see the couple that he was yelling at.
Correct.
And you couldn't hear what they said.
You did not hear what they said.
Right,
so
right.
You did not hear what they said. He was not up in the face of the fans or anything like that.
Like confrontational.
Correct.
Right.
Here is Westbrook after the game saying that he felt disrespected.
The realization of it is how it started was a young man and his wife in the stands told me to get down on my knees like he used to. And for me, that's just completely disrespectful to me. I think it's racial. I think it's just inappropriate.
Here he is saying that he's been a good camper so far this year.
There are people that come to the game and to say mean, disrespectful thing about me, my family. For many years, man, I've done all the right things. I've never done anything to hurt or harm anybody. I've never been in any trouble. Never fought a fan. Been in the league 11 years. Clean slate.
And here's Westbrook saying that, he feels like he has been, he's got no issues with how he handled himself last night.
If I had to do it over again, I would say the same exact thing because I truly will stand up for myself, for my family, for my kids, for my wife, for my mom, for my dad every single time. I expect anybody else to do the same.
Now, listen, we don't hear exactly what the fan says.
Right.
And I'm not one, Taz, you and I, you wrestled, but I mean, when you go to a sporting event as a fan, right? When you're sitting there in the stands, you used to have season tickets to the Mets.
Yeah.
And I grew up going to, games and still go to games. I have never I've booed, right? I've cheered.
Right.
I have never, ever in my life yelled anything like disrespectful to somebody on the field.
Well,
on
you're
the court.
I believe you're in the business. So you get it.
Right. But even when, even
when
you
were younger, you're saying,
even
yeah,
when I was younger, I'm not there screaming something at, you know, I'll boo, you know, when,
right, of course,
you know, I'll cheer, obviously, when something doesn't go, you know, when I was going to Ranger games growing up, the Rangers have a terrible shift. They give up a goal, boo, give up an odd man.
Nick games, you were booing all the time.
Correct. Right. Right. Correct. So, I mean, but Taz, you know the deal. I mean, you go to it, but I'm not. So, listen, I don't think just because you pay money to go to a game that you have the right, you can boo. I don't think anything's wrong with booing somebody. But I also don't think you have the right to say anything to anybody at any time.
I completely agree. And I'm actually going to be honest with you. When I knew that this topic would come up in this show, I thought you were going to have a different take. And so I'm actually, because I thought you and I were going to be on a little different page. What happened with Westbrook, now we don't hear what the fans said, this guy and his wife. We don't know what they said. You don't hear it. The guy was interviewed afterwards, and apparently he's denying everything, and he said he never cursed at Westbrook, and he's denying all that stuff. And he's saying his wife just sat there and said nothing like a church mouse. So we don't know the truth, right? Westbrook's saying that the wife stood up and said the same thing that the guy said. Okay, so I've been in this guy. I've been in Westbrook's position probably in my career about 40, 50 times where I've had – fans either verbally come at me and I verbally go back at them, or even at times, a couple times,
crazy.
Physically, someone tried to lay hands on me. And then now we get a situation where you're allowed to defend yourself.
Right, sure.
And it doesn't end well, usually for the fan.
No.
So what happens is, okay, I have zero problem with everything Westbrook did. I do think when he says that to the guy about his wife, that's not good. No matter if she was saying it or not, I do. Now you got to be careful with that, you know. And I do. I don't think that part was the right thing there. But look, the bigger problem I think is the NBA, like the fans. And we were talking about this before the show. I don't know if you were in the newsroom when we were talking about it. You might have been in the restroom, but for a quick, brief conversation, dude. Like, and I'm sure you would agree with this. The fans are just—they're too close. They're on top of the guy. It's too much.
No,
They
are right there. And they are right on the court and everything. Taz, now
no barrier, you know,
right? But you're not. I mean, you're not going to put up a wall. You're not going to do anything of that nature because you got to have guys to be able to run free on the court too.
I know.
So you can't all of a sudden have them hit a barrier if they're going. So you're going to get hurt. So you can't do that. So I don't want to push the fans back, but. Those are the money. Those are the tickets that they're charging arm and leg for.
No, I know.
I mean, I know every city it's a little bit different, but you show up at Madison Square Garden, that's a $1,500 seat.
No doubt. You're next to Spike Lee.
Right, Woody Allen.
Having a martini.
I mean, it's two rows back. Those are the money that they're charging your arm and leg to go to those seats and to go to sit in those seats at those games.
Right.
So, listen, I don't know what was said. I don't.
Right.
I know. Listen, from everything you read coming out of Oklahoma City. You know, the Utah, got to remember, eliminate Oklahoma City last year, right? Their fans can get a little nasty. And Westbrook's got a chip on his shoulder that he doesn't want it to end this year the way that it ended last year with them falling short against Utah. And they've had a great year. We've talked about Paul George and Westbrook. They've won 41 games after the victory last night in Utah.
And he's kind of been quiet, as far as not being combustible.
No,
he's playing great,
playing great. And Paul George probably has been, he's arguably, been the MVP of the league. He's right there with Harden. The Greek Freak is probably the top three contenders to be the MVP of the league this year in the NBA task. So I'll take Westbrook at his word that they said something to that said something of that nature. I do think it's more sexual than it is racial, but that's besides the point. If that was exactly what was said to Russell Westbrook,
right.
But if someone says that to you, yes, I mean you want to say, all right, well at some point maybe you don't have to necessarily say anything back. It's not the I get what Westbrook did. I'm not saying the fans' behavior was correct. But I also think that, there are times though, Taz, where you don't have to, you don't have to have rabbit ears with everything that's been said.
Well,
but
that's true.
If the fan saying that kind of thing does cross a line, but if someone says something, we brought up Dolan yesterday.
Yeah.
Dolan's walking out at Madison Square Garden and a fan doesn't curse as much as we see on video, doesn't even say anything like yells at James Dolan, sell the team.
Right.
Dolan stops in his tracks, mm-hmm. says, you know, that's rude for you to say. That's my opinion. That's not opinion. In fact, it is an opinion for him to sell the team.
Right.
You know, that's the definition of it. And then promptly basically has him banned from Madison Square Garden.
Which is ridiculous.
Which is ridiculous.
That's completely ridiculous.
If you're the owner of the Knicks, just walk out.
As a paying customer.
Yeah.
Now, that's the fine line to the point you made earlier. That guy at that Knicks game is a paying customer. So is the guy who, with his wife, who yelled at Westbrook, whatever he yelled. But there's a difference to the point you made earlier. If you're getting into a complete jawjacking, or let's just say it's somebody, like there's probably a lot of people listening to us right now that have yelled and cursed and heckled players of some sort at a pro game or a college game even, which is even more disgusting because these are college students,
yeah.
Okay? And it happens. It's horrible.
Terrible.
And I hate it. I don't normally go to games. I remember at high school games, at college, my son playing lacrosse, I've heard people yell things at lacrosse games in the stands. And, like, I want to get up and go cut a promo on the guy. My wife said, just sit down. You know, just sit down. You know, but here's the thing.
But before you make – I just want to emphasize that point because it's a great point in terms of the way you look at the college athlete as compared to the paid professional athlete.
That's right.
And it's a night and day difference. You know, you bust my chops about all the jobs, and I do Rutgers pregame and postgame football, right? And
I love it. I think it's great.
But you bust my chops about all the jobs I have.
But I have a lot.
Here's the deal. I am not as critical of the college athlete that's playing football at Rutgers as you would be of a Jet, Giant, Raven,
Raider,
Redskin.
Yeah.
But you can't be. First off, they're student athletes,
right,
number one. Number two is they're not paid professional.
It's
a complete night and day difference.
Totally
the way that you look at the player, the way you look at their performance on the court, you're not going to be as critical of the college athlete as you are the paid professional athlete.
Right, but you get it. You're a bona fide professional broadcaster covering sports for a lot of years. So you understand that. And I'm not saying people that don't do that don't understand. A lot of people that know, that think just like you're thinking, that don't do what we do for a living. Here's the thing, and there's this line where people think, and I've seen the wrestling a whole bunch, I've seen it on social media with wrestling fans, where sometimes people think because they're a fan of yours or because they help support you, they buy tickets to an event that they're paying your salary. In essence, they are, but that doesn't give you the entitlement to go and completely disrespect and show just punk out and verbally rip someone because you know they can't touch you. And if they touch me, guess what? I'm going to sue. If you touch me, I'm going to sue. That's the world we live in. That's how a lot of people think. It's disgusting.
It is.
It's disgusting.
Well,
but hold on. One more thing, Moose, about the rabbit ears. You're dead on with that. It happened to me a lot, too. I would promoters would say, dude, don't react to this. There's 10,000 people here, and you hear two or three people that are heckling you, and then you're getting on the mic, and you're verbally ripping them. And it's funny now years later because those people that are saying something negative, it's like when you're in the middle of it, they stick out.
Yeah,
it's horrible. It's horrible, but it's the truth.
Well, it's like anything else. Sometimes when you hop on social media, you focus in on the guy that says so, or gal that says something negative as compared to the 20 or 30 tweets about something being positive.
True. Those are Mikey B. burner accounts.
But
though.
You know what I mean. I mean that happens to everybody.
It does,
and you're right that. But that's the and listen. There's a lot of different ways to go about this. It's not a great look for Westbrook, but you can't say whatever you can or whatever you feel like saying to somebody at the time. But then you can also get into the debate here of fans' behavior and the in-game experience about going to games, Taz. And that's where, you know, you go on college campuses, and there are a lot of college campuses that don't serve alcohol, right? And you go to NFL games, go to NBA, NHL, what have you. You know, and that's why a lot of NFL fans that I know say, you know, I enjoy watching games at home. I don't enjoy going, you know, to an NFL game on a Sunday. And I'll ask him why. He goes, well, because I don't need to sit there and have somebody right around me cursing a blue streak the entire game.
Right.
You know, and the last time, you know, my dad and I went to a Giants Skins game at MetLife Stadium, and we're sitting there, and there was a guy three rows behind us. Basically, from quarter one through the midpoint of the fourth quarter, when we left, going off, cursing left and right, and to the point where you had people around us that got little kids and whatever, and they were asking them to calm down, be quiet, and you say to yourself, all right, well, you know, that's why the game day experience. That's why you gotta you look at the way people handle themselves, and especially the way people handle themselves when they've had a couple, Taz.
Oh yeah.
Some of their behavior is abhorrent.
It really is. And your kids are younger, and soon you're going to want to take them to games.
Yeah.
You're going to want to take them to Yankee games. You're going to want to take them to Ranger games.
Yeah, my wife's like this year. She's like, you have to take Jackson to his first baseball game. He's 6 years old.
You got
to put can't take Paul. Paul will be climbing off the light stanchion. Yeah, but
throwing Legos at everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Aaron Judge's up at the plate.
Like, yeah, right.
She got hit in the ear with a Lego.
Right, exactly. But no, but the behavior of fans, that's, you know it better than anybody.
I mean, you were in some crazy scenes. Dude, insane. I can't
as a, as a broadcaster, as a wrestler. Both. I mean, those ECW days were insane.
Yeah, and some WWE stuff, too, but mostly ECW was insane, bro.
Yes.
I'll tell you off air because I can't say it here.
I know.
Some of the stuff that happened. Bad.
Easy.
With the fans.
I'm sure.
I'm just telling you, bro.
I'm sure. But want to hear what your reaction is, what happened last night in Utah with Westbrook going at it with a fan. Critical, not critical? Do you think it was within his right? Want to hear from you. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4CBS. It's Taz Moose on a Tuesday morning. CBS Sports Radio.
College hoops are front and center during Conference Championship Week, and we're talking about the games here on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
For the first time ever, Gardner Webb has punched their ticket for the NCAA tournament after taking down the Big South Championship and defeating Radford. Let's welcome aboard right now their head coach, and that is Tim Kraft of the Running Bulldogs. Hey, Tim, Coach, Taz and the Moose with you. We appreciate the time this morning.
Coach, what's up?
Hey, how we doing? Thanks for having me on.
No, thanks for taking the time, Coach. How does it feel? I mean, it's been a long time coming here for Gardner Webb. How does it feel to finally get yourself and get this program into the tournament?
Oh, it's been amazing. It's been amazing and just kind of a humbling deal because, you know, you're just so focused on your team, you know, and trying to get your team better every day and trying to, you know, win the next game and be prepared and all of those things. But then as you kind of get to the point where we're playing for the championship and on Sunday, you know, you start to get all these texts and emails and messages from former players and, you know, alumni and then after, you know, we won it, you kind of felt the weight of like, you know, just how much it meant, how much this whole thing has meant to you know, all of our former players and alumni and just so many people that are, you know, outside of our team. So it's been pretty cool.
Coach, no, definitely great, and congrats. And the thing is, you know, I understand for you as the coach, right, it's all about the program, all about the players and the families, I get it, I respect that. But just, like, for you, like personally for you, the emotion for this, to see the program, to achieve something that's never been happened before, it had to be pretty awesome, huh?
Yeah, definitely. No, definitely. And just, you know, our staff, we've had, you know, two assistants have been with me the whole time. You know, this is year six for us, and I was an assistant here at Gardner Webb for 3 years. About, you know, in 2004 is when I first got here, and I was there for 3 years as an assistant. So, you know, you kind of get a feel for the history of this place, and you know, to be able to take the team to this step and get them to here is, you know, it's a really satisfying feeling for sure.
You know, Coach, for those that have not been locked into your program all year long, that's going to become familiar with Gardner Webb when the brackets become unveiled, or maybe watch the Big South Championship game. Give us a little bit of a feel of your team and how they've grown here from game one to that conference championship game.
Yeah, sure. Well, we've got a good mix of veterans and good young players on our team, and I think that's really helped us. We have a fifth-year senior in David Effiani, who's our leading scorer.
He's been great this year.
Yeah, he's had a tremendous year. And we have another senior named DJ Laster who
tremendous.
Scored.
Yeah,
he scored 32
points
in the championship
game. Yeah.
And you know, very good player, post player that's really playing well here of late. And then we've got a lot of other guys that have just been in the program, you know, 3 to 4 years. Got another fifth-year senior, Brandon Miller. So we've got a good kind of core group of guys that have been around for a while, and then we've got a freshman named Jose Perez who's from New York, and he's had a tremendous year. He was runner-up for freshman of the year, and You know, just he does a lot of things for our team as well. So, you know, we play a really tough schedule early. A lot of, you know, road games against BCS type opponents. We're able to win games at Georgia Tech and at Wake Forest this year. So, you know, we knew we had a good team. We were 8-0 in the month of December and felt like things were really kind of coming together. Then when we hit league play, we started off actually 2-4, which was probably kind of a good thing for us, you know, because it kind of knocked us down a little bit. Like, hey, maybe we're not as good as we thought we were.
Yeah, humble you, right?
yeah, and, you know, get you to evaluate your team and maybe a little closer and coach them harder. And you know, that's good for our coach, you know, for me, you know, our staff too. Sure. Just get you to, you know, focus in a little more on what you're not doing well. And then we finished, you know, the conference season 8-1-8 of our last 10 heading into the tournament. So, you know, really felt like we were playing well. And then I think the thing I think that's really helped us in the tournament, in our conference tournament, is this team's seen so many different situations and crazy experiences. We played in 6 overtime games, which is like, you know, I think maybe Samford I saw has played in more. Samford and LSU, maybe the only teams that played in more. I think they played in 7. So it's like we've seen so many different late game situations, everything that could kind of come your way. We've handled some of those good, handled a lot of them bad, but at least, you know, learn from them. And I think that really helped us in the tournament just kind of be battle-tested for whatever comes our way.
Well, I was just going to say that, Coach, the word battle-test, I was fixing to ask you. You know, that's got to be something right there to know that your team is battle-tested, that you've seen what they can do in clutch situations, and you got a potpourri like you just laid out of mixture of talents of different age of these players from seniors to freshmen that are out there playing. You know, so that's – you sound like – and you should be extremely confident in what you guys can do because of the experiences.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think that gave us a lot of confidence in our conference tournament for sure, you know, and got a lot of guys playing well and feeling good. And, you know, obviously, you know, that's kind of like, you know, for 6 years, you're talking about winning a conference championship, you know, throughout the year and to start the year. And, you know, you get that done here and now, you know, we're all kind of celebrating and, we give the guys a couple days off and
yeah.
Come back on Wednesday. But, you know, I guess at that point we gotta now focus on, hey, we got another game to play.
We gotta go.
Yeah, let's get back to reality here. And everybody's telling you how great you are. Now let's focus in on seeing if we can go win another one.
You know, Coach, you mentioned it for the program. You know, it's obviously the first trip to the NCAA tournament, and you punch your ticket on Sunday. Curious, before that championship game, with knowing that, and obviously you've got veterans on that team that know Gardner Webb has never been in the NCAA tournament. I'm sure it's something that's talking about.
Sure.
What was, you know, Coach, what was the message to your team before that game against Radford? What did you tell them?
Well, you know, we didn't talk a lot about, you know, the chance to make history, and you know, I think everybody kind of knew that was at stake, and we didn't really want to bring any more attention to that and feel like, hey, this might be our only chance. Or,
right,
you know,
right.
But it was more just kind of what I was telling you guys is like, hey, man, we're built for this right now because our road to the tournament. You know, we were the 4 seed, so in our conference tournament, the 1 seed gets to host the event, which was Campbell. So then if the 1 seed gets knocked out, then it goes to the highest remaining seed. Radford was the 2 seed. So, you know, we had to play on the road at Campbell in the semis and beat Campbell on the road. It was the 1 seed, and then play on the road at Radford. And you know, we played BCU, Virginia Tech. We played all these different play. I mean, those 2 games were probably the loudest, best environments we played in all year. And so going into that Radford game, you could literally draw from your experiences and saying all the stuff I just told you guys about the overtimes and all the other highs and lows we had as a team, but also the fact that, like, hey, you know, Friday we just knocked out the 1 seed on their home floor. Like, you know, we're ready for this deal. You know, let's just go out and execute, play together, and, you know, let's do it.
Hey, Coach. So, what's the game plan now? Sunday, right? So, what are you gonna do now? Where are you guys watching? What's the deal? You're doing a pizza thing? What are you doing to see where you guys land on in the 20?
Well, these are like uncharted waters for me, man. So, even when I was I was 9 years as an assistant, Gardner-Webb, Auburn, and East Carolina. And
right.
We had some good teams, but we never made an NCAA tournament. So I've been talking to a lot of buddies in the business and how to handle this week and how to handle next week and, you know, try to get some advice. But I'm actually about to hop on a plane to go to Boston to recruit. We got a kid we're going to see in Boston.
All right,
here
that's
today.
Cool. Yeah.
And but we took Monday, Tuesday off, come back Wednesday, we'll practice kind of the rest of the week, and then we've got a big selection show, you know, party for the students and the Bulldog Club members and as many people as we can pile into our student center to just hopefully enjoy that.
That's awesome.
Enjoy that night, figure out where we're going.
Yeah, and Coach, we appreciate the time this morning. I got one more for you, and that is, you know, obviously, matchups, right? And you mentioned the experience of your team that you had in the regular season at a conference schedule, what you're able to do in the conference tournament with the road victories in the semifinal and the championship game. You know, is when you look at your team, and you've been around the game a long time, right? You're in your early 40s, and you've done a great job at Gardner-Webb. Is there a particular matchup you think you'd like to see that you think gives your team an opportunity to maybe pull off a little magic come the tournament?
Well, I wouldn't name a specific team, I haven't paid enough attention, honestly, to the one seeds. I was looking at it yesterday, and I thought, you know, I don't know what I would think we'd be a 16, 15 at best.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have no idea in terms of the
just happy to
whatever
be there.
That is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I have no idea, but you know, I'll tell you, you know, we do struggle. We play a little smaller. You know, we play a smaller guy at the four spot and a kid at the five that's about 6'6". So we do struggle a little bit with teams that kind of beat you up on the glass. And so, you know, I'd love to see a team that's not, you know, one of the top offensive rebounding teams in the country.
Plays a little smaller. You mentioned
yeah.
Perez. You know, Coach, you're going up there. You're about to hop on a flight, head up to Boston. When you're recruiting guys to Gardner-Webb, especially getting a guy like Perez coming out of New York City, what's the sales? Like, what are you selling in terms of the opportunity?
Well, we got the smallest. We're a very small, little private Christian school, really small town, kind of a country town. It's the polar opposite of New York City, trust me. You know, I do think there's a little bit of appeal from those guys in the Northeast. And we have another kid from New York. That like, you know, those guys that are just, they're in the city and it's concrete and it's subway and it's, you know, high rises. And all of a sudden when they get on our campus, it kind of looks like this, nice country club resort, you know, there's grass and trees and mountains and we're kind of in the foothills of the, I do think it's so different. They kind of think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, but, you know, we're more than anything, we're selling our school we got a great just family atmosphere on our campus and people all over our campus and community that really invest and pour into our players and our students. So that's the number one sell is that right there. And if people value that, you know, Gardner-Webb's a great place for them.
Well, you're going to be Taz and the Moose is out. You're our official Cinderella team, all right, Coach? So
awesome.
Have some
awesome.
Fun next week.
Yes.
Safe travels up to Boston, and we'll be watching, all right?
Go get him, Coach.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
You got Take it. Care. That's Tim Kraft. The Running Bulldogs, Gardner-Webb, Big South champions.
Yeah.
We'll see exactly what region, who they're going up against. And, you know, at least he's, you know, he's realistic as well. I mean, at best, they'll be a 15.
Yeah.
And they might be
yeah.
a 16 taking on a 1.
It's
or maybe one of those 16 teams that got a playing game.
You just hear Bulldogs, but these are the Running Bulldogs.
Correct.
I kind of like that. It's a little
well,
bit
that's
different.
It.
You know?
That's
yes.
exactly right.
Running Bulldog.
Two of the best pound-for-pound fighters in the world put their perfect records
oh, yeah.
on the line. Spence Jr. versus Garcia this Saturday at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, live on pay-per-view. Order it now.
Well, it's time for our latest sports update.
They see me mowing my front lawn. I know they're all thinking
there
I'm so
is.
Wide and nerdy. Think I'm just too wide and nerdy. Think I'm just too wide and
Bogus,
nerdy.
Bogus, good morning. How are you?
Bogus is in the house.
Thanks, guys.
You got it, buddy.
It's
Take
always
it away.
Great.
Any
welcome.
Other late-breaking NFL news?
That's really up to you, Moose.
I'm just curious.
This
Last
report
hour,
is...
It's too early for breaking news.
Oh,
CJ Mosley's a Jet.
As it was too early for me to have my full news machine going.
I tried to CJ Mosley's a Jet.
I tried to say that whole sentence and Moose just beat me to the punch. But the funny thing was What did you say? Thanks for the usual nice intro. Intro. Like, what was the word? I don't know.
Hello. Good morning. Yeah, I don't know what it is. It's all typical. Blur.
Oh, man, I got tears in my eyes. Oh, my God. Oh, man,
this report is sponsored by Glassdoor. Glassdoor only matches you with qualified job candidates who have the skills and experience your small business needs to grow. Go to glassdoor.com/hire. Find the right fit for your business, Glassdoor. Yes, as first reported by our Moose, the Jets are in agreement this morning with former Ravens linebacker C.J. Mosley. 5 years and $51 million guaranteed. This on the heels of yesterday's reported signings of linebacker Anthony Barr and wideouts Jamison Crowder and Josh Bellamy, which came the day after they traded for Raiders guard Kelechi Osemele. All the Bills have done so far is sign the ageless Frank Gore. The Chiefs landing safety Tyrann Mathieu, while safety Landon Collins goes to Washington. The Lions get defensive end Trey Flowers, wideout Danny Amendola, and tight end Jesse James. Terrell Suggs on his way to the Cardinals. And the Jaguars outbid the Jaguars for Nick Foles, 4 years and $51.25 million guaranteed dollars. The Bucs are trading wideout DeSean Jackson to Philly, and the Patriots reportedly putting a restricted free agent tender on wideout Josh Gordon. That means a team would owe New England a second-round pick if they sign Gordon away. That being said, anyone signing Gordon, highly unlikely, with him again under suspension. As you guys were just discussing before, Coach, Russell Westbrook in a heated verbal exchange with a couple in the stands last night in Utah. It's the second run-in Westbrook has had with a Jazz fan. He slapped the phone out of a fan's hand while leaving the court following a playoff elimination last season. Westbrook last night threatened this couple because they made a racist remark, according to him. The man denies that he may or may not have tweeted that Westbrook deserved to get his butt kicked after last season's incident. Westbrook and the Thunder won the game 98-89. This happened in Cleveland.
Ibaka, who got armbarred by Chris, the ball flies out of bounds. Oh, and Ibaka went after Marquise Chris. He's choking him, and Chris threw a punch, so did Ibaka.
That is John Michael on Cavs Radio. No clothesline, just a goozle and some punches.
These people make these wrestling terms. They don't even know what they're talking about.
Armbar by James Gamish. Name is
I've never seen someone bothered by so much by someone just.
It's a goozle. Call it a goozle.
Right. That's a toe drag, toe hook. Call it properly.
Is it finger four or figure four?
Figure four. Okay,
it's figure four. It's not finger four.
Nope. Figure with finger four.
You are a moth.
I'll take some fingers in your eyes.
Oh, finger four might be on later on Cinemax.
What the? Check for
it. It was actually on when we came in at 5 a.m.
I'm sure it was.
TV number two.
It's too early for signings. I'm heading back to the newsroom.
Leave me alone with your news.
There's no breaking news now, Moose.
There's no breaking news.
Serge Ibaka.
The Jets.
Sorry.
Serge Ibaka and Marquise Chris ejected for that fight last night. The Raptors lost in Cleveland 126-101. The Clippers steamrolled the Celtics 141-115. Lou Williams, 34 points off the L.A. bench, along the way passing Del Curry for the most bench points in NBA history. The Rockets beat the Hornets 118-106. For a 9-game win streak. Wofford and Iona, the latest teams into the NCAA tournament. And Seattle Mariners third baseman Kyle Seager having surgery today for a torn tendon in his left hand. Seager is out at least through April. Guys?
All right. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate it. The Odell Beckham Jr. rumors will never, ever, 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 ever.
What are they thinking?
Never ever.
Unbelievable. It's great. This guy, you gotta be kidding me.
Well, let's save it. We got
right, no problem.
Just, gotta go to break. Help. Music's playing. Pilates, like, got reads to do.
Break.
I'm sweating. We must go to break.
Have to.
Must
break.
Go to break. Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
It's college basketball's conference championship week. Keep it here to talk about the games on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, tonight at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, over at CBS Sports Network, it's the Colonial Athletic Association Championship game as two teams leave it all on the line for a ticket to the big dance. It's a bracket week on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. Hofstra is in the championship game.
Nah.
After they were victorious last night.
Long Island's own.
Yes, as you do each and every day. We appreciate all the support and great affiliates across the country.
Oh, yes.
Sirius and XM 206, the app as well. Download the podcast each and every day since this show launched on January 2nd, 2018. Tomorrow, just want to give a little programming note. We're going to be joined by Clemson head coach Dabo Swinney. He's going to join us at 8:30 a.m. Eastern time. So,
good deal.
By Biseglia.
Good job, Mikey B. Good job.
Tomorrow morning at 8:30 a.m. Eastern time, we're going to talk a little Clemson football, and certainly talk about a lot of the Clemson players that are going to be in the forefront the NFL draft. Yeah,
chock full in the draft. Dabo. How are we saying his name?
Dabo.
We're Dabo, right? We're saying
Dabo.
Anywhere we put it, he's going to be cool. He's just the head coach of Clemson. No, we're looking forward to having him on. It's going to be great.
No, it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be great. So that comes your way, 8:30 a.m. Eastern time, Wednesday morning. We'll be joined by Dabo Swinney, the head coach of the Clemson Tigers.
We got to make sure the team, we got to let Mike know.
Yes.
To tell his crew of the social media people to promote the hell out of that.
We're going to promote it.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Got to make sure they do.
Mike's all ears. Yes, he's
Mike's all ears.
Speaking of, we got the three coming your way at the top of the hour. Andrew Brandt, MMQB Athletic, is going to join us coming your way in the 8 o'clock hour as well. Is going to join us about 8:25 a.m. Eastern time this morning, Taz. The rumors surrounding Odell Beckham Jr. and his future with the Giants and that not being locked or cemented in stone is It is kind of surprising to me. I mean, because even though Dave Gettleman at his end of the year press conference, and that's the general manager of the Giants, came out and said that we didn't sign Odell Beckham Jr. to trade him. We do know this. You know, you had Chris Sims with the report right. that he almost got traded to the New England Patriots right before the NFL trade deadline.
Oh, God, that'd be a nightmare.
Right. We do know this is that the Giants continue to take calls, according to those in the know. And that they are not completely against the idea of trading Odell Beckham Jr. The Glazer report, where he said, give us something surprising. Well, he said, I wouldn't be surprised or something that would grab some headlines. The Giants trade Odell Beckham Jr. The rumors still persist there about the Giants potentially trading Odell Beckham Jr.
Man, I don't understand. This guy is ugly, top receiver in the game.
He's top four, top three, top four.
Right? I mean, between Julio in no particular order, Antonio Brown, I'm just saying, I don't think he was a big headache. Unless I missed something this past season, the previous season was. Once Schumer got there, they kind of got along decently,
as long as he got paid. He did not act out like he did the previous season. Not to that extent, but, and they paid him. They paid him a ton of money. They gave Odell Beckham Jr. Now, those that are going to say, they haven't exactly won anything with Beckham. And some would say, you don't need a big wide receiver and pay a wide receiver big money in order to win in the National Football League. I get that. I understand it. If you're going to get overwhelmed via a trade, there are going to be teams that are going to be willing to offer you something for Beckham if you're willing to trade him.
Yeah, absolutely. The guy's great. Focus on the quarterback. I know Eli's been great, but what are you going to do here? That's the key. That's what the rumors should be. What are they going to do at QB? How much more are you going to get out of Eli here? I don't know. With two amazing, dynamic, great players in Beckham and Barkley running the ball, with the Giants, why would you mess with that, with that receiver? I don't understand.
It'll be interesting. I'd still be surprised if they trade him. Having a conversation, Taz, about it and taking offers on it.
Different story.
Still different. The Patriots made them an offer, and they just said, no, we're not going to do it.
Right.
Right? So making that trade, though, because he does sell. Sells a lot of jerseys.
Big time.
He does do that.
Big time.
I'll come back. We got the three for you. Taz Boost, Tuesday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.